UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Tumors of the liver and biliary tree, mainly hepatocellular carcinoma and cholangiocarcinoma, are the second leading cause of cancer-related deaths worldwide and the sixth leading cause of cancer-related death among men in developed countries. My guest today is Dr. Jared White. He's a transplant surgeon at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. White. So explain a little bit about liver tumors and some of the risk factors that might be involved, including hepatitis B and C infections.
Sure. So hepatocellular carcinoma is the primary, number one primary liver tumor that we deal with here at UAB and of course, nation and worldwide. We typically see those tumors involving chronic liver disease, so infectious causes such as hepatitis C, hepatitis B are common. Probably one of the most rapidly growing reasons that we're seeing, especially in the United States, is from obesity or what we call NASH, cirrhosis, or non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. People hear the word cirrhosis and they think alcohol, but and that's a misnomer, as there's many causes of cirrhosis and chronic liver disease from scarring and inflammation. But in those settings, we see these liver tumors pop up not infrequently. Cholangiocarcinoma that you mentioned is really the most second most commonly caused tumor, and also seen in some entities such as primary sclerosing cholangitis or ulcerative colitis. But these are much more rare tumors, although equally devastating, in that they often present early or present rather late in the disease with few options for management.
So let's speak about the clinical presentation for a minute. How do you know, and what would send somebody even to see someone for help?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and it's oftentimes, if you look at the data, the large overwhelming majority of patients actually present late in the course of their disease with hepatocellular carcinoma, because there aren't really a lot of times any presenting symptoms. Sometimes these are picked up incidentally. Patients have abdominal pain, or nowadays CT scans are so frequent that they go to the ER, or occasionally they're in a motor vehicle accident or what have you, and lo and behold, they've got chronic liver disease or cirrhosis, which they didn't realize they had, and also a large mass and potentially vascular invasion. So again, these would be late presentations, and they may have never known they had those symptoms or the liver mass in general. Anyone with risk factors for liver disease, and that's whether it's infectious etiologies, history of hepatitis B, hepatitis C, if they have autoimmune diseases such as ulcerative colitis, if they've been heavy drinkers in the past, and again, unfortunately, with the prevalence of diabetes and morbid obesity, very high rate of developing non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which we're seeing these tumors, hepatocellular carcinomas, pop up frequently and oftentimes sooner in the course of the disease than you would, say, with hepatitis C, which may take, 20 years sometimes to develop these tumors. So, anyone from primary care physicians, gastroenterologists, anyone managing patients that have chronic liver disease or risk factors for liver disease should be screening patients for these liver tumors. If they're caught early, we have lots of options for intervention. But as I mentioned, sometimes 70% or more of our patients are presenting already intermediate to advanced stages where those options are limited for cure.
So how important is the early diagnosis of liver tumors as being crucial to improve that outcome prediction and some valuable prognostic tools, Dr. White, to aid in that early diagnosis? You mentioned screening. What does that involve?
Yeah, so it's absolutely crucial. If you look at the guidelines that we go by in the United States, we follow what's called BCLC guidelines, which is Barcelona Cancer Liver network and basically stratifies these patients in terms of early, intermediate to late stages, and that's based on tumor size or multifocality. It may it also involves whether or not they have vascular invasion or extrahepatic disease, but also takes in consideration performance status. So patients get stratified into each of those categories, and their options for cure obviously are on the early side of that. So patients that present with stage A, for example, have really all curative options open, including liver transplantation, surgical resection. There's also liver-directed therapies that we use, particularly for the early and intermediate stage, including thermal ablation. We also combine, and probably the most common therapy that we use is called chemoembolization, and those are performed by interventional radiology clinicians. And then the late stages, folks with advanced liver disease, including ascites and encephalopathy, or they may not be able to ambulate. You know, we see patients that show up in wheelchairs that aren't going to tolerate much of anything that you do to them in that situation. The best that we could offer are palliative techniques such as Nexavar, which is the only chemotherapeutic agent currently been shown to improve survival, and it's on the range of about 1 to 3 months of prolonged survival.
So based on your staging, Dr. White, what are some current issues in medical or surgical management? For example, if you detect the presence of cirrhosis, might that affect treatment options? So speak about some of those current issues.
Yeah, so really the main issues is in the presence of cirrhosis is how advanced is their cirrhosis. So we know you know, patients who are well compensated, and we use both the MELD score, which is model of end-stage liver disease, basically looks at their laboratory parameters, including creatinine, the INR, and the bilirubin, and stratifies patients in terms of their risk of morbidity and mortality with surgery. We also use the Child-Pugh score, which is similar, but some specific differences to the MELD in that it includes some objective factors such as presence of ascites and nutrition values. But those values together, we can pretty accurately determine you know, who will do well and how aggressive we can be, although that's not 100%. Obviously, we have patients that we try to push the envelope and treat them. Even, you know, if you look nationwide, there are patients that are being treated all over the board, and the guidelines are followed rather loosely, and you know, their ultimate survival is sometimes going to be hard to predict. So patients with advanced disease, with elevated bilirubins, with a large amount of ascites, you got to really walk the line into how aggressive to be with those patients. But well-compensated patients with a normal bilirubin, normal renal function, those patients can, you know, tolerate surgical resection, albeit limited. They may not be able to tolerate as large a resection, such as a hepatic lobectomy, or you may have to do other techniques in order to ensure that they're not going to go into liver failure, which is the big thing we worry about with doing aggressive surgical resections for hepatocellular carcinoma. That's really where transplant plays the greater role in these patients that have the opportunity that fall into the criteria for liver transplant. You're removing the entire liver. You're removing all the tissue that could potentially generate hepatocellular carcinoma, decreasing their risk of recurrence and by far prolonging survival more than any other option.
If hepatic metastases are up to maybe 40 times more common than primary liver tumors, doctor, what are some of the most common types of primary malignancies that you would like to let other physicians know to be on the lookout for?
Yeah, so by far colorectal cancer with liver metastases is really what we see more commonly than primary liver tumors. So these are oftentimes detected at the time of detection of the colorectal cancer, which would be considered what we call synchronous mets, but occasionally folks, even with early-stage colon cancer and they've had their colon resection, they still need to be screened over the next several years really probably once or twice a year with a good CT scan, triple phase or multi-phase CT scan or MRI, either one, to pick up small metastatic lesions to the liver, because by far surgical resection or extirpation of these lesions will prolong survival. Now, that's considered stage four disease with cancer, but we've made many steps in improving survival over the past couple of decades, combining both chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and surgical resection for these patients with advanced disease.
What does current research indicate for a future developments in treatment? Give us a little blueprint for future research.
Well, and that's kind of multifactorial considering the different types of liver cancer. For primary liver cancer, such as hepatocellular carcinoma, again, in my mind, early detection is key. And unfortunately, the overwhelming majority present at late stage disease. So I think there's active research in appropriate staging and appropriate screening. Right now, ultrasound screening is by the guidelines what is used. And like I said, if we're missing risk factors for cirrhosis in the general community with primary care physicians, then we're patients who have a high drinking history, patients who have been morbidly obese for an extended period of time, at least an ultrasound every 6 months is what's recommended. I personally have seen too many times where patients have been followed with ultrasounds and no obvious lesions are found, and then come to find out they get a CT scan or an MRI and they have cancer in their liver everywhere. Because the liver is heterogeneous and nodular, these tumors can be missed by ultrasound alone. And I can't quote you the exact number on how often that happens, but you see one of these in clinics that patients have been followed for several years with ultrasound and come to find out, they've got a massive tumor, and at that point we have very little options for treatment. So I'm a big advocate for at least, once a year obtaining a CT scan or an MRI in the presence of cirrhosis for sure, or for patients with these risk factors for hepatocellular carcinoma. And that obviously is a bit different from colorectal cancer or other metastases from other primary tumors. Again, I would typically follow those patients at least every 3 to 6 months with contrasted imaging of the liver to pick up early metastases that can be treated with liver-directed therapy.
And what can a physician expect from your team after referral insofar as communication with the referring physician? And tell us about your team. Why is UAB so great to work with?
Yeah, so we've got a multidisciplinary team at UAB, and we currently manage our liver tumor board, which consists of not only the surgeons, but also the radiation oncologist, the hepatologist, or the GI medicine experts, the hematology and oncology experts, as well as the interventional and body radiologists. So this is a multifaceted team of all the liver experts that treat liver tumors. And we also have several nurse practitioners that are really key in assisting with getting everything ready, making sure we have a list that's usually anywhere from 20 or 30 of patients per week that we've evaluated. We go through each patient individually, looking at their risk factors, reviewing their imaging, reviewing their possible chemotherapeutic options that they've had or what they might benefit in the future. And then every one of those patients gets a phone call after the tumor board. We meet on Friday afternoons, and then they get their phone call that afternoon after the tumor board evaluation. We try to send letters to every referring physician that's involved with the care of those patients, and that includes potentially operative notes, pathology forms that from any specimens that have been taken, either biopsy or from surgery, any interventional therapies such as chemoembolization or external beam radiation. All of these things that we do, we want to reach back out and make sure that the referring physicians and primary care doctors are all on the same page. We have a central line where our liver tumor clinic can, the referring doctors can call in and refer patients directly, fax their information over, and it's our policy to try to get disposition on patients within 1 to 2 weeks following their referral. So We're pretty proud of the service that we provide through our liver tumor board, and I think we've had a lot of success with that.
Thank you so much, Dr. White, for being with us today. And a community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.